Hey everybody, welcome back to the All Independent Reno Podcast. My name's Dave, thanks again for listening. Before we get into the episode, please rate us and subscribe on iTunes. That way people can find the podcast easier, people can share it more, and more bands can, be interviewed on the show. Or not necessarily that, but they can be heard on the show throughout the entire world. And, I appreciate anything you can do in that regards, sharing it on Facebook, Twitter, and all that crap, too. So, thank you. I got a chance to have a conversation with the band City Wolves. I got to talk to them about their new album that they're putting out. They're in the process of writing and recording their LP, which should be out, I think they said, in the spring sometime. We were just listening to a little bit of their track, Dance Track. You can find that on their Bandcamp page at citywolvesreno.bandcamp.com. Find them on Facebook and Twitter, and I think Instagram too. We had a fun conversation about their music, how they started their band. They're a really fun group of people, and they make some really good music. They opened up for Proto Martyr at the Holland Project a few weeks ago, and during the interview, you'll notice there is a dog barking and whining a little bit, possibly. That is Sherman, who is a foster dog that my girlfriend and I are fostering because her sister has an amazing animal sanctuary called Forget Me Not Animal Sanctuary. So Sherman got to be a part of the episode. He just happened to sneak his way in here and hang out with us. So let's get into our conversation with the band City Wolves. Got City Wolves here. Thank you guys for coming. I really appreciate it.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, good. Yeah. This is Brigden Marquard on vocals and guitar. And to your right, we got Watson Meyer on bass.
Yeah, that's me.
And to his right, I'm kind of discombobulated right now, but we got, Dylan?
Greist.
Dylan Greist, yeah. Thank you. And over here we got Mr. Forrest Molina on drums.
How's it going?
And Aaron. I'm kidding. What's your last name, Aaron?
Miller.
Aaron Miller. Thank you all for coming down here. So it's a packed garage right now and with City Wolves. So so how did you guys all first get together?
Oh, it all started, Watson, Dylan, and I were in a band together before this called... Well, that doesn't matter. It was a ska band, though, in Nevada City. And we all went to the same high school, but we all came up to Reno around the same time. And we didn't really know each other that well, but we were like, let's play some music.
So you and Watson and Dylan are originally from Nevada City?
Yeah.
Here. How long ago was that? Recently?
3 years ago.
Three years ago.
Pretty recently. In a small town, Nevada City. I like Nevada City.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. So then you were in a smaller band in Nevada City and then moved here and started City Wolves and found Forrest and Aaron?
Yeah. It was there were 12 people in the band, so us leaving wasn't really that big of a deal. Dylan played the sax, Watson played the... Oh, I thought you did trombone, but you did bass, and then I did guitar. And then we, moved up here, and because the band was so big, we didn't really know each other that well. there could be 12 people in a band, and you could, know some of them better than others, and, which is weird to think about.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that, just because the first time that I met them was actually... at a show that my 12-piece folk band was playing with their 10-piece
holy shit
band at the time. Yeah, I think you guys were at 7 or 10 abouts, and sort of opened, my band played, and then afterwards Watson grabbed me at an open mic and was like, I need you to be in the band. It was great.
I remember the conversation pretty clearly. It was I basically told him I would pay him to be our drummer. And then we never paid him to be our drummer. And he kept on saying, you're the secondary, my primary band. I need to focus on them. And I'm like, all right, that's great, but play for us too. And then next thing you know, the other band broke up and we got to keep him. Steel.
Nice. We got to keep Forrest.
So when a 12-piece band breaks up, that probably forms like three different or four different bands all together. It just kind of spreads out like a virus, but in a good way.
It's a musical big bang.
A musical virus.
Yeah, a musical virus.
Yeah. It's a funny way to look at it. Yeah. So when did you guys first release your, what was it, the demos, I think, on Bandcamp?
Yeah, we released a couple like live demos that we took at shows, and that was pretty early on, so we were still like trying to like make it work even when people were out of town or whatever. Like we have a live demo on there with a different guitarist because Dylan was in Jamaica. So we had Ray Mueller on guitar for that show, just that show. So the parts are like way different and it's like wild. And Forrest, were you drumming for that one? Or was that so. Daniel? Okay, yeah. And then I think we did like a living room session where we would like recorded a couple songs in Dylan and Watson's old apartment living room.
In an apartment?
Yeah, in an apartment living
room. Your neighbors must fucking either hated you or loved you.
We practiced there all the time too. I don't know how we got away with it. We were so fucking loud.
I think at one time even like they actually invited us over and were like, come grab a drink. Yeah, we listen to you guys all the time. Not by choice, but hey, it's pretty good. We're like, all right.
We end up hearing you about every time you play.
Every single time.
So when you recorded the live albums, did you just have like just a computer and a little bit of studio gear? Or?
I want to say it was phones.
I had
phone recordings.
I had. We borrowed, at the time, we had a viola player and a cello player in the band as well. So the viola player had basically a little portable microphone, like a Tascam 808 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And we just set it up on the top of the stairs and just went for it. Pretty simple, straightforward stuff.
That's pretty cool. Well, what did you guys do for your most recent, what was it, the EPs? There was the dance track, which was just one song that came out. I really like that song, too. That's a really fun song. And there was the other EP that has the really long title to it.
If I write until late, that's what I would do if I were you.
That's it, yeah.
That was like, I think that name was made out of frustration. Yeah. We recorded that EP like a year and a half ago. But it only got finished like 6 months ago due to a bunch of like...
It was a lot of, we recorded it and then we mixed it and then, or we had someone else mix it and then we hated the mixes and then we asked him over the span of like a year and a half to like work on the mixes and he like is, all right, this is the final product. Then we ended up giving it to another gentleman and took care of that. The guy who recorded our album is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. Like, wonderfully insane. He's one of my favorite guys, actually.
Everybody wants to grab the mic right now.
Yeah, I would definitely say it was mostly, over the year, it was a misunderstanding of him thinking that we were a folk band, listening to that EP and being just thinking to himself, this sounds like no folk I've ever heard in my life. I don't think this is a folk band.
Kind of funny though, because in the process of like trying to release that, we released like the split with Skinwalkers, then we released the Valentine's Day single Limerence, and by that time we had also recorded two tracks up in Sacramento, one of which was Dance Track, and then we got the EP out.
Okay. Well, for people that haven't heard your music before, everybody that's listening to this, of course, go listen to them after you hear the podcast.
And, yeah, yeah.
But what would you describe your music as if you're not folk music? I know that's a tough question. I usually don't ask this question, but you just said, Forrest, that this guy thought you were folk music, so I want to kind of clear the air about what you guys sound like. What would you describe yourself as?
I think the folk thing was just like a bad rumor that was going around, some gossip, you know.
Some Reno small some town Reno. Gossip.
Dude, I heard
little
that
big
band's
town
a
gossip.
Folk band. I think we're kind of like some weird mix between like post-punk and like, I don't know. We used to associate a lot with like shoegaze because we had these really long songs that like we didn't really know what was going on, and I mumbled a lot. But I think we're not really shoegaze anymore.
Like to me, it's kind of surfy to me. Like it has the big reverb sound in it.
Yeah. And
someone described us as post goth once, which maybe I could see a little bit.
I can definitely see a lot of like some goth elements in there. Like I know that Britton takes a lot of inspiration from Nick Cave, his vocals and everything going on there.
I can hear that.
With what I go for, I take a lot of inspiration from, like, I go in the direction of, I love Beach Fossils and his bass work and everything that's happening there. But then I find that I love everything that Proto Martyr does as well with his bass lines. Yeah, I see that sticker that's on your wall. It's kind of those kind of balances that I kind of try to find the line between for this band. But I mean, that's just personally.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of influence from post-punk and a lot of influence from goth music.
It's like sad, but you want to dance to it.
Proto Martyr was literally my favorite band right now. So to open up with for them was like a dream come true for me right now.
That was a really great show.
I really turned out really well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was up there like singing along with all the lyrics and just screaming and going wild. And there's I don't know if you know the band G Dreen out of Sacramento, but the lead singer of G Dreen was there just sitting there and screaming too. It was like a dream come true.
I don't know G Dreen.
They broke up pretty recently. I went to go see Proto Martyr in Sacramento. Yeah, and there was
back in like March earlier this year.
It was Chastity Belt, Proto Martyr, and G Dreen. And it snowed over the pass, and we got stuck on the pass, which was sucky, but the show was incredible, so.
I know you mentioned you doing a split with Skinwalkers. What's your relationship with them, and how'd you end up doing like a split EP thing?
That's a fun story, too. There was this guy who wanted to like put out a split with us. Like he wanted to like put us together on a split because he liked us, but we didn't know each other at all. So then we agreed to do it, and then we got to know each other, and then like stuff happened with the dude. Wasn't a very good dude. He scooted. But then like Skinwalkers and us, we were like, oh, we're buds now. Like let's do it anyways. Like this is gonna be sick.
Yeah.
And it was. Now they're our best friends. We love Skinwalkers.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're called Skin now. But yeah, the end of this, the progression of that story, like it turned out to be this like really wonderful relationship with pretty much every member of that band. Did he just eat your donut? That fiend.
Sherman.
Yeah,
did you
like,
eat his donut?
I've played Guilty. Shows with
bad dog.
I played shows with the drummer Nick Meza. He's played in like different bands like with me.
Okay, I've heard his name before.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean they're kind of just a bunch of really good dudes who made some music together. They kind of like separated a while, but they're coming back together as completely a different name.
Okay,
Skin.
Yeah, I'd like to get them on the show. I really like their stuff as well, and they're great. Yeah, they seem like pretty cool guys.
They're sweeties.
How do you guys, Sherman, you can't be on the show, I'm sorry. So when you guys get together and write, what do you do? Like, do you come like with, a bunch of lyrics and like, what's your process? What's your secret?
Yeah, it's always music first. So like, I'll come up with like some like different parts of a song and like, we'll take him to practice and we'll be like, I'll play it for him. I'll be like, what do you guys think of this? Like, and then they'll start adding stuff and like messing around with it. I'll be like, okay. Like, what do you think of this? And we'll start like playing around with it and messing around with it. Like, okay. And then we'll like, just like slowly work through the song. And sometimes like I'll bring a whole like completed song to the table, but that doesn't happen too often.
Do you play other instruments as well to be able to like bring together the full song, full fleshed out song?
It like for the most part, like, at least with City Wolves, like, everyone, like, is really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And, like, we all can, like, play each instrument a little bit. So we're all, like, have a good reference point as to, like, what each other's doing. But we're all, like, very specialized, I think, in, like, our specific instruments or what we're doing.
Yeah, I would definitely say the process is, like, I mean, it is really collaborative, but it is something of, you know, having that understanding of what instruments each other's playing, I think, has, like, a really big part in sort of writing our own parts to, like, strengthen and just make what everyone else is playing in the band, like, valid, you know, to have, like, Dylan's lead complementing and, you know, giving strength to what Brigden's playing on guitar, and having, you know, my drums, like, give Watson's bass, like, you know, the dynamics that, like, you know, I can offer to it, and sort of trying to build the song together.
Yeah, you guys are playing for each other instead of just playing your own individual part. Yeah. Not like...
Definitely.
Because I think a lot of bands, they like to showboat a lot, especially drummers. I'm not calling you out for us, but...
Yeah, no boats here. I think that was a, as this band has, like, progressed, it's been a learning progress as well. Like, first, I remember the first thing as we were kind of putting these songs together, like the first songs we were writing, my mentality to it was, oh, that's a cool riff. I can play a cool riff too. And then I'll play that cool riff over that cool riff. Mm-hmm. And so it just became like this unpolished mess. Mm-hmm. And then as we're starting to write these new songs, we were getting to this point where I'm going, oh, that's a really good idea. What can I do to progress that idea? Where can I take this and move it to create an actual song and not just that cool riff that I play? And I think that's, at the end of the day, it creates a better part. Do you want to talk? Are you puppy want to talk?
Sherman, do you have some words to say, yeah. Sherman? And no.
No, that's nothing. Shoot.
Yeah, it seems like that's a hard thing for a lot of bands, just trying to, you know, find their own space and knowing when to not play sometimes and just, yeah, fitting into a slot. And I think you guys do that really well, too, where you sound like it, compared to a lot of, like, local bands that just sound like they're all just jamming all the time. You know, you guys sound like you're more, I guess, yeah, more cohesive and more... just cognizant of what you're doing, you know, like you're able to like hear your music from like a third party kind of way. Do you guys, when you do record and play, do you like record one song and listen to it like over and over and over? Or do you just like one and done? You're like, all right, let's set that aside and move on to something else.
It's like the recording process, I think, is really weird with us. We'll record guitar and bass to a click track. And then basically just go into the studio and for us to, like, record their part and, like, yeah, set down their part, like, there and then without, like, doing it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And same with Dylan a lot of the time. Like, we'll go into the studio and they'll be like, all right, here we go. I'm writing a part right now. And the same goes with and the same goes for vocals a lot, too, because I used to not, like, write out my vocal melodies and just like I used to be fucking weird about it,
just mumble like, over it and stuff.
No, it was weird. I couldn't like record vocals unless I turned off all the lights, just because I'm like really weird and anxious and self-conscious about vocal stuff. And then I wouldn't have any of it, like I would have the lyrics, most of the lyrics written out ahead of time, but then I wouldn't have like sung them to the song before, and I would like...
So you would sing when you record vocals, you'd sing completely in the dark.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I guess I do that still, because they do that at Earth Tone too, but...
Hmm. I think something I've always really found interesting about our recording process is, like, we've almost... The majority of the times we won't hear the vocals or the vocal melodies or anything until it's all been, like, mixed in.
Yeah, I would definitely say even just, like, the first time recording, it was, like... really interesting just coming back after, you know, Brigden had laid down the vocals and we'd kind of like worked on figuring out where it all fit in, like just in recording it like fresh more or less. And I guess it was like same kind of thing with Aaron, but once it came on, it just gave the song a whole new, like, emotional vibe and just, like, really brought, like, everything that we had been playing in the same way that the way we write our songs, like, it gave it just entirely, like, validated every part of the song just through the vocals. And then when Aaron came on, it, I cried in the studio so easily.
And Aaron, you sing backup, not backup vocals, but kind of, like, harmonizing?
Yeah, I am. yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. We're going to be writing more as soon as I, get my shit together. but it was really funny in the studio when we were recording Dance Track because I was sitting on the couch with Dylan while Brigden was doing his vocals. And then Dylan just turns to me and he's just like, you know, it's really, really funny with Brigden because, like, you're never really sure what he sounds like, and then you hear it and you go, oh. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. But that day was, like, super weird because I don't think I'd even listened to the song before. Like, and then Brigden was just like, yeah, come record with us. And I was like, Oh, yeah, I skipped I had, like, a graduation requirement that I was supposed to take that day, and I skipped it. Yeah, it was, like, pretty much the most punk rock thing I've ever done. I love being a fake punk. but, yeah, it was cool.
I really actually, it was really exciting to have her come down and record in Sacramento, A, because, like, it was a pretty new process for us to record in that studio, and we really liked that process. But the moment the song was kind of, as you build the song, you're hearing it, and you're, all right, I can kind of see where that's going. And then I remember we're all sitting there listening to, like, she just sang the vocals, and we're listening to it, and we're, like, suddenly realizing that it just, it skyrocketed. It took it from, like, oh, that's a good song, to, oh my gosh, here it is. It really, like, changed the whole song. And every time I show anybody Dance Track, they're going, oh, who's the girl singing? Like, who's that, though? They don't listen to the, they don't say good song. They say, who's the girl singing, though? Yeah. And so... Yeah, they're not saying. Well, they don't say, "Oh, I like how what you did with that song," or "the tone's nice." They go, "Who's the girl singing? That's incredible!" Like every time, like, all right. I mean, it's great, and I think it's actually pretty exciting to see. I'm not mad. I'm just. I don't know. What about me though?
It's awesome.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. That's what I needed. Your validation.
Right. Thank, yeah.
Thank God. but I'm pretty excited to see where the next couple of steps we take, specifically with bringing Aaron into it, because, like I said, like, it took the song from being, oh, that's good, to, oh my gosh, and that's just gonna happen X amount of times. It's just keep happening, just nonstop.
Are you guys working on a new album right now?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Segway.
We have been working on, I think it's like 10 songs total. Nine songs total for like a new LP1 that's kind of been in the works or been in the like talking process for a while.
The whole life band.
But we've all been like so busy, and we like needed to get all the other stuff out of the way first. Like, we needed to record, like, release that EP. We needed to like finish all the songs that we've been playing for years and like actually get them out so we can like clear our plate, so we can like work on new stuff, and record new stuff. So just the other day, actually, we pretty much finished writing for the most part, like, what's going to be LP1, which we're going back into the studio to record in late January. But it's really
exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's like, I don't know, I'm really proud of it so far. I'm really proud of the stuff.
Yeah, I would say with the things that we've been, like, the songs that we have been working on and have released, it was something of just, you know, we'd sort of wrote them together and just put them together really quickly. And over the years, like, of playing together, we really, like, honed in our sound and got a chance to, like, understand where everyone else is in the band and like what they're playing. So since like these, just recording these new songs or writing them through the process, it's been so like so much more challenging than I think any of us could have like expected. And just honestly, some of the stuff that I'm the most proud of that I've played in my life, like easily. And I've been playing for, I think, 10 years now, and it's been amazing.
Not only has it been challenging, these like new songs, but they've also been very rewarding in the way that I'm feeling as though these songs are way more beyond just, oh, here's that thing and here's the vocals and here's like the song. It feels like there's a lot more intention and a lot more conversation being had amongst everyone here, and there's a lot more of songwriting structure being had instead of getting these songs that are
just straightforward
or just like one thing,
like
just
that kind
on repeat
of stuff over there.
Intro verse chorus bridge verse chorus bridge verse it's
my first band. All right,
hey, that's awesome though. It's fantastic, especially since you're using my bass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah, you came in earlier and said that you're like, whoa, that's my bass.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, do you mean the same kind of bass? And you're like, no, it has the same scratches.
I just put those scratch marks on there.
Speaking of bass and gear, what kind of guitar do you play?
I play I play this Black Jaguar that I've had.
Oh.
I got it and like, it was like eighth grade. And I've been playing that. Like, I've had a bunch of other guitars, but I always like buy them and sell them because I don't like them. Because they're not like that guitar is, it's got me through so much. And then I have a baritone Telecaster that I use for a handful of songs that I do baritone
really
cool. on. Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun.
What do you play, Dylan?
I'm playing on a Dual Showman. It's a vintage from the 70s, I believe. And then I run it through a 2x15 speaker that these guys actually built for me for Christmas last year.
Oh,
so,
that's a pretty awesome Christmas present and handmade. Yeah. What do you got, Watson?
I jumped from that bass that you have, the active pickup bass, to I ended up putting a lot of money into getting a just an American-made Fender P bass.
Mm-hmm.
I love the thing to death, but I just also recently got myself, I was kind of jumping between a weird Fender amp. It's a Fender PA-135. It's supposed to be a PA that they made back in like the 1976, I think.
Okay. So it's pretty big and
yeah, it's
tall.
Well, I mean, it's about the same size as like any Fender head would be. It's all tube. It's got like maybe six preamp tubes and eight tubes in there. Like, it's huge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of amp. And it's supposed to, the idea was that you can plug in four separate channels in there, but
use it as a PA.
Yeah, but okay. I daisy changed it in there and kind of like modded it in a weird way. But then
that's
pretty
cool.
Just got my hands on it, an SVT Classic. The Ampage SVT Classic, and after I heard that thing, I can't go back. It sounds so good. So right now my setup is my full setup is gonna be a 4x10 and a 1x18 through that SVT Classic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you guys have the new album coming out sometime next year, are you sure when it's going to... Do you have a timeline for that?
I think if we're recording it in late January, I want to say probably spring, like early spring. And then we're going on tour in like late spring. Yeah,
tour.
Right. With some buds from Salt Lake. It should be fun.
Oh, cool. Just like a West Coast tour?
Yeah. We're just hitting like a bunch of cities that we have friends in, just like Salt Lake, Boise, Seattle, the Bay, LA, and then back up to Reno.
Well, I didn't ask Forrest. What are you? What kind of drum set do you play? What do you got? I know you wanted to talk about it.
Not going to lie, I did just lament to Aaron silently. They didn't ask me about my drum set.
We're asking you.
And I told her immediately after, don't worry, I tell enough people about it. It'll be okay. I actually just picked up this. It's a PDP set by DW, but it's their. Okay. They're maple concept, so it's all maple.
Ooh.
Has beautiful wood hoops on it, has a
nice,
really warm, like deep presence, and just giant sizes, and all the maple on there just has such a good power to it, but still like a lot of resonance in there. So it kind of like matches a little bit of like the moodier stuff that Dylan does, but as you know, the larger sound and like I guess like drive that like matches what like Watson and like Rigdon play. Definitely a definitive punch.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming down. I appreciate you talking about your music, and I'm looking forward to hearing the next album. Do you guys have a show coming up soon?
I think March is our next show right now.
Okay.
So we've got a second.
We were doing shows like every 2 weeks or once a month, so it's kind of nice being able to step back and then just focus on recording and getting songs made. So it's, you know, it's a nice change of pace, and everyone's got their own stuff going on. Other bands they're playing in or shows.
You're in the Pry as well, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm in Pry. And then Brigdon, are you still doing Young Deathwish?
Yeah,
he has a Oh, and Aaron's in Young Deathwish as well. That's right. Yeah, they're playing a show coming up soon. It's like drone metal stuff. Dylan's got his own solo project thing going on. Everyone's got their own thing going on. So everyone's busy, but you know, doing our own stuff. But yeah, so it's kind of nice stepping away. And also, you know, it's more exciting when we actually get to play, because we're like, it's been like, oh, it's been 3 months since we've been on stage together. You know, it becomes more personal to us. Aaron's project too, Surly. And I'll let you talk about that. Aaron's project, Surly.
I just listened to that the other day, actually. Yeah, that's you?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, cool. I liked it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I listened to the Bandcamp, the four songs or so that were on there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun project. It's a labor of love.
isn't all music a labor of love for the most part?
I think all of us sort of heard Surly. Brigdon was playing in it for a little bit, filling in on drums, but we all kind of heard it and just immediately, like as soon as the vocals came in, like, so we need to find a way to steal her.
Yeah.
And get her in our band.
Ursula, steal her voice.
Sweet.
You're the Little Mermaid!
Dream come true.
Yeah, well, cool. Thank you, Dave. This has been a ton of fun.
Yeah, thank you for coming over. And did you guys want to say anything before we finish out the episode?
I think we said a lot.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, I need to go. Dylan wants to say something.
Start a band. Have fun.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right,
thanks again. Okay, everybody, there's our conversation with the band City Wolves. I'm really excited that they're going to be releasing a new EP, or LP, I should say, this next spring. So be on the lookout for that. But until then, you can find their music at citywolvesreno.bandcamp.com. I'll have a link on the website for that. Also, don't forget to check out Forget Me Not Animal Sanctuary of Las Vegas. And thanks to Sherman for being on the show, too. He's a good dog. He's a good boy. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and give us a rating, too. Until next time, this is Dave with All Independent Reno Podcast. Take it easy.